Chapter 48. Banished. Clack, clack, clack. Flora stood silently. William Spiver stood silently. The squirrel typed. Florabelle? Said William Spiver. Uh-huh, said Flora. I wanted to make sure you were still here. Where else would I be? Well, I don't know. You did say that you were moving out. My mother wants me to leave, said Flora. I don't know if that's exactly what she meant, said William Spiver. I think she was surprised, and perhaps her feelings were hurt. She certainly didn't express herself very well. Shocking, really, that a romance novelist could be so inept at the language of the heart. Clack, clack, clack. Ulysses had a look of deep and supreme satisfaction on his face. She said it would be easier without me, said Flora. Yes, well, said William Spiver. He pushed his glasses back up on his nose. He pulled out a chair and sat down again at the kitchen table. He sighed a deep sigh. My lips are numb, said Flora. I know that feeling, said William Spiver. Having suffered through several traumatic episodes myself, I am very familiar with the bodily manifestations of grief. What happened to you? Asked Flora. I was banished. Banished. It was a word that Flora could feel in the pit of her stomach. A small, cold stone of a word. Why were you banished? I think the more relevant question would be, who banished me? Okay, said Flora. Who banished you? My mother, said William Spiver. Flora felt another stone fall to the bottom of her stomach. Why? She said. There was an unfortunate incident involving my mother's new husband, a man who is not my father, a man who bears the idiotic appellation Tyrone. Where is your father? Said Flora. He died. Oh, one more stone sank to the bottom of Flora's stomach. My father... My real father was a man of great humanity and intelligence, said William Spiver. Also, he had delicate feet, very, very tiny feet. I, too, am small of foot. Flora looked at William Spiver's feet. They did seem extremely small. Not that that is particularly relevant information. In any case, my father was a man who could play the piano wonderfully well. He had an in-depth knowledge of astronomy. He liked to consider the stars. His name was William. But he's dead, and now my mother is married to a man named Tyrone, who does not have delicate feet and who is supremely unaware that there are stars in the sky. The mysteries of the universe mean nothing to him. He sold my father's piano. He is a man who refuses to call me William. Instead, this man refers to me as Billy. My name, as you know, is not now, nor has it ever been, nor will it ever be, Billy. I took issue with being so addressed. I repeatedly took issue. And after repeatedly taking issue and repeatedly being ignored, one thing led to another and some irrevocable acts occurred. And thus, I was banished. What thing led to another thing, said Flora. What irrevocable acts occurred? It's complicated, said William Spiver. I don't want to talk about it right now. But as long as we are asking each other questions of an emotionally fraught nature, why did you say that your mother wanted a lamp for a daughter? It's complicated, said Flora. I'm certain that it is, and I empathize. There was another long silence punctuated by the clacking of typewriter keys. The squirrel is working on another poem, I suppose, said William Spiver. I guess, said Flora. It sounds like a long one, epic in nature. What in the world would a squirrel have to write about at such length? A lot happened today, said Flora. It was late afternoon. The shadows of the elm and the maple in the backyard entered the kitchen and flung themselves in purple lines across the floor. Flora would miss those shadows when she moved away. She would miss the trees. She supposed she would even miss William Spiver. And then... Almost as if he were reading her mind, William Spiver said, I meant what I said. I'm here because I was looking for you. I missed you. Flora's heart, the lonely, many-armed squid of it, flipped and flailed inside of her. She opened her mouth to say that it didn't matter. Not really, not now. But as usual, what she intended to say to William Spiver and what she said were two different things. The sentence Flora intended to say was, It doesn't matter. The sentence she said was, "Have you ever heard of a place called Blundermeechan?" "Pardon me," said William Spiver. He held up his right hand. "I don't mean to alarm you, but do you smell smoke?" Flora sniffed. She did smell smoke. Now there was going to be a fire, on top of everything else, for the love of Pete. Chapter 49. Good news, Flora Bell. Flora's mother and father entered the kitchen together. Her mother had a cigarette in her mouth. Her mother was smoking. Her father had his arm around her mother's shoulder. This was almost as alarming as seeing her mother smoke. Her mother and father never touched anymore. "Good news, Flora Bell," said her father. "Really?" said Flora. She never believed it when someone said there was good news. In her experience, when there was good news, people just said what the good news was. If there was good news that they wanted you to believe was good news, then they said, "Good news." And if there was really bad news, they said, "Good news, Flora Bell." "Your mother thinks that it would be wonderful to have the squirrel stay here," said her father. "What?" said Flora. "Here? With her? And where am I supposed to stay?" "Here," said her father. "With your mother. You, your mother, and the squirrel. That's what your mother would like." Flora looked at her mother. "Mom?" she said. "I would be honored," said her mother. She took a long drag on her cigarette. Her hand was trembling. "Why are you smoking?" said Flora. "I thought you stopped smoking." "It seemed like the wrong time to stop," said her mother. She squinted. "I'm under a lot of pressure right now. Speaking of which, I see that the squirrel is typing. On my typewriter. Where I write." "He writes poetry," said William Spiver. "Not fiction." "Let's just have a look-see," said Flora's mother. She walked over to the typewriter and stood looking down at Ulysses and at the words on the page. "Let's see what kind of poetry a squirrel types." Her voice sounded funny still, tinny and far away, as if she were speaking from the bottom of a dark well. Actually, what she sounded like was a robot, someone pretending to be human and doing a lousy job of it. Flora felt a little flicker of fear. "Let me just light another cigarette here," said her mother in her robot voice. She lit a new cigarette from the tip of the old one, which was, of course, chain smoking and dangerous behavior at the best of times. And this, obviously, was not the best of times. Her mother inhaled deeply on the cigarette. She exhaled. She said, "Shall I read the squirrel poetry aloud?" Chapter 50, An Incomplete List. Actually, it wasn't poetry. Not yet. So far, it was just a list of words that he wanted to turn into a poem. The first word on the list was jelly. Jelly was followed by giant donut, which was in turn followed by sprinkle. The list continued on with these words. Rita, sunny side up, Pascal, giant squid, little shepherdess, vanquished, capacious, quark, universe, expanding. Blundermeechan, banished. The list ended with the words of Dr. Meacham's goodbye. "I promise to always turn back toward you." The words were good words, Ulysses felt, maybe even great words, but the list was very incomplete. He was just getting started. The words needed to be arranged, fussed with, put in the order of his heart. All of this is to say that when Flora's mother read the list out loud, it didn't seem terribly impressive. "Gosh, that's some swell poetry," said George Buckman. "Not really," said William Spiver. "There's no point in lying to him, even if he is a squirrel. It's actually pretty lousy poetry. But I do like the last part, the part about turning back. That has some emotional heft to it." "Well, I think it is just great," said Flora's mother, "and I'm glad to welcome another writer into the family." She patted Ulysses on the head, too forcefully, he felt. The pat approached violence. "We are going to be one happy little family," said Flora's mother. She gave Ulysses another whack disguised as a pat. "Really?" said Flora. "Oh, yes," said Flora's mother. There was a knock at the back door. "Yoo-hoo!" someone called out. "Tootie," thought Ulysses. "Tootie," said Flora. "Mrs. Tickham," said Flora's mother. "Do come in. We were just reading some words that the squirrel typed. Ha ha. We were reading some squirrel poetry." "William," said Tootie, "I've been calling and calling you." "I didn't hear you." "Well, I must admit that I wasn't calling very loudly," said Tootie. "What did Ulysses type?" Flora's mother read the list of words again. Tootie put her hand over her heart and said, "Oh, those last lines are beautiful. Breathtaking." "Those last lines are the only bit of coherence in the whole thing," said William Spiver. "I've been inspired by Ulysses to write a little poetry of my own," said Tootie. Ulysses felt himself puff up. He had inspired Tootie. He turned and sniffed his tail. "I'd like to read your poetry, Tootie," said Flora. "Well, we should have a poetry reading at some point. I'm sure Ulysses would enjoy that." The squirrel nodded. "Yes, yes, he would enjoy that. He would also enjoy a bite to eat. Dr. Meacham's jelly sandwiches had been wonderful, but that was a long time ago. He would like to eat, and he would like for Tootie to read poetry to him, and he would like to work on his own poem. Also, he would like for Flora's mother to quit pounding him on the head, which she was doing again now. William," said Tootie, "your mother called for you." "Did she?" said William Spiver. His voice was squeaky with hope. "Really? Did she ask for me to come home?" "Unfortunately not," said Tootie, "but it's dinner time. Come home with me and eat something." "Home," thought Ulysses. "That's a good word. And dinner is a good word, too." He turned back to the typewriter. He searched for the H. Chapter 51. Possessed. Things were very strange. Her mother insisted that they sit together at the dining room table, the three of them. She also insisted that Ulysses sit on a chair, which was ridiculous, because if he sat in a chair, he wouldn't be able to reach the table. "He can sit here with me," said Flora. "Oh, no, no. I want him to feel welcome. I want him to know that he literally has a chair at our table." Her mother had held the chair out, and Ulysses had climbed onto it, and then she slid the chair all the way under the table. It was enough to break your heart, watching his whiskered, hopeful face as it disappeared beneath the tablecloth. If her mother hadn't been acting so strange, Flora would have said something, would have argued more vehemently. But her mother was acting strange. Very, very strange. Not only was her voice robotic, she was also saying things that she never would have said before, expressing sentiments that seemed to be at odds with the mother Flora had always known. For instance, wanting a squirrel to have a chair at the table. For instance, encouraging Flora to have a second helping of macaroni and cheese. For instance, saying nothing about Flora's potential stoutness as Flora consumed the second helping of macaroni and cheese. It was almost as if her mother were possessed. "Terrible things can happen to you," had done an issue entitled Devils, Diebucks, and Curses. Apparently, throughout history, people who acted strange had been accused of being inhabited by the devil or a demon, or an alien from outer space. According to Terrible Things, these people were most likely not possessed. Rather, their psyches had been pushed by extraordinary events to the breaking point, and they had experienced a sort of nervous collapse. Flora's guess was that a typing flying squirrel was more, much more, than Flora's mother's psyche could manage. She had been pushed to the brink. She was suffering from some kind of nervous breakdown. Either that, or she was possessed. Of course, Flora's father had been pushed to the brink, too, but everything to do with Ulysses had affected him differently. It had cheered him up somehow, maybe because of the holy begumbaness of it all, had reminded him of Incandesto and Dolores, and also of the possibility of impossible things. "Can't I come live with you?" Flora had said to her father when he left that night. "Absolutely, you can come live with me," said her father, "but your mother needs you now." "She doesn't need me," said Flora. "She said that her life would be easier without me." "I think that your mother has forgotten how to say what she means," said her father. "Plus," said Flora, "she hates Ulysses. I can't live with someone who hates my squirrel." "Give her a chance," said her father. "Right," said Flora. As her father left the house that night, Flora had whispered the words of Dr. Meacham's goodbye to him, and even though there was no way he could hear her, Flora was disappointed when her father didn't turn around, back toward her. But anyway, here she was, giving her mother a chance, which, as far as Flora could tell, meant watching Phyllis Buckman use the candle on the dining room table to light cigarette after cigarette. Flora fully expected that at some point her mother's hair would catch on fire. What did you do when somebody's hair caught on fire? It had something to do with a throw rug. You beat them over the head with a throw rug. That was it. Flora looked around the dining room. Did they even own a throw rug? She caught sight of the little shepherdess standing at the bottom of the stairs. Marianne was looking at Flora and her mother with a jaded and judgmental eye. For once, Flora agreed with the lamp. Things were out of control. Her mother said, "Well, it is such a delight to spend time with the members of my family, rodent and otherwise. But my head hurts, and I think that I will go upstairs and rest my eyes for a while." "Okay," said Flora. "I'll clear the table." "Lovely. So very thoughtful." After her strange mother climbed the stairs, Flora pulled back Ulysses' chair. He hopped up on the table and considered the plate full of macaroni and cheese. He looked at Flora. "Go ahead," she said. "It's for you." He picked up a single noodle and held it in his paws, admiring it. Watching him, Flora suddenly remembered a panel from The Illuminated Adventures of the Amazing Incandesto. It was a picture of Alfred T. Slipper standing at a darkened window. His hands were behind his back, and Dolores was on his shoulder, and Alfred was looking out the window and saying, "I am alone in the world, Dolores, and I am homesick for my own kind." The squirrel ate the noodle and picked up another one. There was cheese sauce on his whiskers. He looked happy. "I'm homesick," said Flora. "I miss my father." Ulysses looked up at her. "I miss William Spiver." Talk about a sentence that you could never predict you would say. I even miss my mother, thought Flora, or I miss the person she used to be. It was dark outside. Her mother was upstairs. Her father was at the Blixen Arms. William Spiver was next door. The universe was expanding. And Flora Bell Buckman was homesick for her own kind. Chapter 52. Is there a word for that? He sat in the window of Flora's room and looked down at the sleeping Flora and then up and out at the lighted windows of the other houses. He thought about the words he would like to add to his poem. He thought about the music at Dr. Meacham's house, the way the voices sounded, singing. He thought about the look on Mr. Klaus's face when he went sailing backward down the hallway. Was there a word for that? Was there a word for all those things together? The lighted windows and the music and the terrified, disbelieving look on the cat's face when he was vanquished? The squirrel listened to the wind blowing through the leaves on the trees. He closed his eyes and imagined a giant donut with sprinkles on top of it and cream inside of it, or jelly, maybe. He thought about flying. He thought about the look on Flora's face when her mother said that life would be easier without her. What was a squirrel supposed to do with all of these thoughts and feelings? Flora let out a small snore. Ulysses opened his eyes. He kept them open until the lights in the windows of the other houses went off one by one, and the world went dark except for a single streetlight at the end of the block. The streetlight fizzled into darkness and then flared back to life and then fizzled again. Darkness, light, darkness, light. What, Ulysses wondered, does the streetlight want to say? He thought about William Spiver. He thought about the word banished and the word homesick. He imagined typing the words and watching them appear on the paper, letter by letter. Flora had told him before she went to sleep that she thought it would be a good idea if he didn't type anything for a while, at least not on her mother's typewriter. "It seems to provoke her," she said. "I think your typing poems and flying around the kitchen kind of made her have a nervous collapse or something." She had said this, and then she had given him a sad look and closed the door to the bedroom. "I closed the door as a reminder, okay? No typewriter. No typing." But what was a closed door to a superhero? It was superhero time, or something. Chapter 53, A Sign. Flora was dreaming. She was sitting on the bank of a river. William Spiver was sitting beside her. The sun was shining, and a long way off there was a sign. A neon sign. There was a word on the sign, but Flora couldn't read it. "What does the sign say?" Flora asked. "What sign?" said William Spiver. "I'm temporarily blind." It was comforting to have William Spiver act just as annoying in a dream as he would in real life. Flora relaxed. She stared at the river. She had never seen anything so bright. "If I were an explorer and I discovered this river, I would call it the Incandesto," said Flora. "Think of the universe as an accordion," said William Spiver. Flora felt a prick of irritation. "What does that mean?" she said. "Can't you hear it?" asked William Spiver. He tilted his head to one side. He listened. Flora listened too. It sounded as if someone a long way off were playing a toy piano. "Isn't it beautiful?" said William Spiver. "It doesn't sound much like an accordion to me," said Flora. "Oh, Flora Bell," said William Spiver, "you're so cynical. Of course it's an accordion." The sign was closer. It had moved somehow. The neon letters were blinking on and off and on and off, spelling out the words, "Welcome to Blundermeachin."
"Wow," said Flora.
"What?" said William Spiver.
"I can read the sign."
"What does it say?"
"Welcome to Blundermeachin," said Flora.
The piano music got louder. William Spiver took hold of her hand. They sat together on the banks of the Incandesto River, and Flora was perfectly happy. She thought, "I don't feel homesick at all." She thought, "William Spiver is holding my hand." And then she thought, "I wonder where Ulysses is."